Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This morning we are interrupting the current series because one of our members went home to be with the Lord last night. Lolo Riddle was almost 83 years old and was one of the oldest members in the ministry. She was rejected by her husband and put into a mental institution and had just come out when she came to this church in 1975. Lola went through deliverance and was totally healed from the emotional wounds. She loved to worship the Lord and served as a Sunday school teacher and helped with many activities in the church. Listen to the testimonies of the congregation as they share their memories of her. This is our tribute to a dear sister of the Lord who didn't have a whole lot, but gave of what she had.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on April the 6th, 2008. And we're going to have a different message, and things have happened, and I want to bring something out special today. So this time, let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, praise you right now, for the songs and the testimonies that we've had here today so far. And I ask you now, Holy Spirit, there are no surprises in heaven, but that you will move upon us here today, Lord, and to help us in everything we do and say now, as you move into sermon time. And this I ask, in Jesus' name, and those who agreed said, amen. You may be seated. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we read from verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with a hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, says he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and go you thither again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he sent to him, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Last night at 10 o'clock, one of our members took a flight to heaven. Lola Riddle is no longer on this planet, but the angels came and picked her up and brought her home. And she went very quickly. She had, I believe, about five people or so that visited her yesterday from Sister Lois, Joanna Sotiris, and also Pamela and Karen. And none of them knew that this is going to be the last day for her on this earth. How should we behave when it comes to the death of a saint? We heard a testimony I read you here today earlier, and the church had been praying for him on and off, and God healed him. And Lola's been ill a number of times, and we prayed, and God has healed her. But it comes a time when God said, I am now ready to bring you home. And this is a moment that God simply felt that Lola had finished her job on this planet. And it was time for her to move and be with Jesus. I shared with you before that when someone goes and leaves this earth, you never lose consciousness. You might be comatose, or you might be somewhat in a state of coma. But the thing is this, that when it comes time for the body to stop functioning, that the soul and the spirit takes over, and the person becomes very, very alert. And they will know that this is their time to go. In the same chapter of John 11, I want us to read from verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, for he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? In the case of Lazarus here, Jesus raised him up from the dead, but Lazarus eventually died, and he's also in heaven. I want to share with you, because this is important that we understand this, that when the time of death comes, you be very alert, and at that moment, you will simply realize that you are moving out of your body, and you're looking down upon your body, might be in a bed, if it is in a car wreck, whatever it is, you see your body laying there. And immediately, holy angels will arrive. And if you are saved, they're going to come with a smile and say, we are here to escort you home. And there are no dead people left on this earth. They are picked up immediately. I used to joke with Rita, and she said, I don't like that joke. And I said, well, if you go before me, you will find out. But I believe that there are shuttle flights that goes to heaven. On the hour, at the hour, there's a lot of people going home. And that the holy angels will simply gather up the saints, take them to the nearest departure point, put them on a flight, whatever they're flying, and off they go. And you can just imagine when it's time for you to go, that you are being fastened in a seatbelt, if I can use that term. You're taking off, and with a speed faster than light, you will move. And you will pass the moon and the stars and the sun and just disappear out. And then after some time, we don't know, you will come up and you will see that beautiful place called Third Heaven. A place where the lights are shining bright. And your flight is coming in for a landing. And there are more angels. I don't know who they're greeting than people there. But I can just imagine when you walk off that airplane and you walk into the city and you hear the music, the singing, and you realize, I am home. I think that that is going to be the most traumatic experience. Some people have been, you know, wondering, am I saved or not saved? But, you know, when you come up there, and then I believe that you're going to meet all the loved ones. They know your flight is coming in, just like an airport. You know someone is coming in, you're at the airport waiting. Where's flight number so-and-so coming in, what time, what gate? And I believe that Lola was met last night by Rita, number of other people that she knew from this ministry that has passed on, my parents and so on, and other people. And you know, from having been sick, you are instantly healed. Your body is not there, but your soul and your spirit has a entity. It is not just a blob. You can walk around and talk and see and sing. That's what the Bible tells us. And I'm sure that you had a chance to go and see Jesus. And I'm sure that you simply said, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I'm sure that you bowed down and worshiped him. Not the Lola we knew here, the last, sick and fragile, but powerful, not aged, and able to sing. And now, I believe that she also got her mansion assigned. And I'm going to ask Brother Yuri to come up, and we got Brother Charles Vatt and I. We're going to sing a song that I know she liked. I got a mansion just over the hilltop. So, Joanne, too, you come on up. And we don't have the music here, I think, but we have it overhead here. So would you stand as we sing this song here and rejoice with Lola that she is now there. You and I will be there.
Satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to share just briefly with you here, and then we're going to have given opportunity to the congregation to share and give some thoughts about Lola. We met Lola 1975, about mid-1975. And at that time, she lived at Fruitridge in an apartment complex down in South Sacramento. And we had a ladies' Bible study that she'd been listening to me on the radio, and she came up to a ladies' Bible study. And it didn't take long until she moved up here into the north area. And she moved into a complex. There was fourplexes on Whitney Avenue. And this is where Ina and I moved into an apartment there a little bit later as she tipped us off. And this is where we started our ministry in Sacramento. I don't know how many times we moved Lola, but she moved quite a few times. And the church was always there. And we moved here and there and joined her. And she got better places and so on after she moved to the next place. And I'm not going to share too many things. I give my wife some more to share on all this too. But I'm glad as a church, her family lives in, is it South Dakota or North Dakota? Illinois, okay, not even Dakota. Anyway, that's close, someplace back east. So there was a time when Michael Moore was going over there and he was cleaning and helping out shopping and so on. And she needed a washing machine and the dryer. We went over and looked at a place, and they had a place for it that we could hook up, what they called a stackable unit. And if you remember the church, we spoke here, we took up an offering, actually people gave, and we bought her a Maytag unit where you had a washer on the bottom and a dryer top. And so she had that the last 2 or 3 years she lived over in that place. And the church has done a number of different things. And the Bible says, take care of the widows and the orphans. And I'm glad that the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, we have been able to take care of Lola. She, her husband died a number of years ago. And so we have been able to take care of her and give her, meet her needs and so on, and help her out when she had a need. And there are many, many people that have done that. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to begin with Lois right now. If I believe that Lois was the one that had the last statement. I heard the phone before we left. And I think that you had a last statement that she wanted to give. You want to come and share that with the church and also share anything else that you have on your heart.
Hi. Well, I was waiting for Lola to be moved to Walnut Whitney from the hospital this last trip that she had to the hospital. And I was at Walnut Whitney waiting for her. Actually, I was filling out a bunch of papers and signing them and so on. But I was there, and Pamela was at the hospital with her as she was getting ready to be moved. So she was well covered that day, and she used to get so anxious when she had to be moved, because it usually hurt her. Her shoulders are very fragile, and the least little movement or touching of them would hurt her. So it was nice that she had both ends covered. Well, later that day, while we were waiting for the doctor's medicine to come to the nursing home for her to relieve the pain in her shoulders, she was talking to me, and I was trying to keep her mind off of her pain, and just comforting her and praying with her and singing to her and things like that. And out of the clear blue, I was just standing there and looking at her. And she looked up at me, and she had this very worried look on her face. And that was unusual for Lola. And I said, I looked at her, I said, "Yeah, something wrong?" She said, "Lois, has anybody paid my tithe?" And I said, "Well, I've been managing your money, and I haven't paid it." She said, "Would you please pay my tithe for me?" And I said, "Sure, honey, I sure will." She said, "Oh, thank you, thank you. That's been bothering me." And so her last thoughts were of the church. Her last thoughts were of serving the Lord, of being able to continue what God wanted us to do. And so I thought that was very beautiful. I've known Lola for 20 years, since I first came in 1988. And she, at some point in time, she couldn't drive anymore. I guess it was after she had the Guillain-Barre syndrome. And so I would pick her up and take her to church, regardless where I lived, where she lived. I just find her, you know, I just did that because I was single and by myself. And so was she, so I thought it was a good thing for me to do. And in doing that and taking her to the doctor sometimes, this was before Pamela came to us, because Pamela kind of picked up where I left off and did a lot for her. But during those times, I got to know Lola, and we would have precious times talking about the sermons or talking about the things of the Lord. We also have a lot of fun and joke with each other, and I kept her laughing a lot, and she loved that because she loved to laugh. And she just thought I was the funniest thing that ever came down the pipe. And I guess I was. Anyway, we had good times, and we had precious times. And when one thing I do want to mention that really, really touched my heart was over at the new nursing home at Walnut Whitney, while she was there these last couple of days, one of the nurses said, you know, she said, "Lois always comes on Tuesday." And she said, "Oh, are you sisters?" Lola said, "Yes, we're sisters." And I said, "We sure are." And I squeezed her hand, and she just smiled. She was so happy that we could, you know, share that. So I think that's enough. I'll let someone else talk.
I'm going to present to you the team that over the years have ministered to Lola. So I'm going to ask Ina if you come on up here, and then Pamela, Karen, and then we have Satiris and Joanne. And let me look around. I don't want to miss anyone. Shireen. Okay. So come on up here. And Michael Moore. Now, did I miss anyone? I missed you? Come on up here. And Joshua. Okay. So this is the Resurrection Life of Jesus team that over the years went to hospitals and ministered and prayed with her and so on. So I'm going to give each one of you an opportunity to say a few words And then you can go down, and that way we start with you and go around this way. So you're number one.
I helped out Lola by coming to her house and buying her groceries, and then after a while Mike came with me, and the two of us did it, and I would buy the groceries, and Mike would hang out with her and take care of her, and then after I couldn't take care of her, then Mike took over after me, and she had stories that since she was older, and she could tell me some knowledge that I didn't know, and it was nice to listen to what she could tell me so that I could grow stronger in God, and she was very helpful. Thank you.
My name is Sharon, and I met Lola when I first came to the church. And I lived in Roseville, and I would commute down from Roseville, swing by and pick Lola up and go to the church that we had off of Madison Avenue, and I would take her back and forth. And I would take her home, and my daughter, Amron, and I would talk to her and walk her to her apartment and a lot of times sit down and talk with her and keep her company for a while until she got tired. And being there, talking with her and her sharing with us about her life. And we did that for several years, and that's how I remember Lola.
Hi, I'm Shireen, and I guess I'm the last one to start seeing her, so I haven't seen her but for, you know, several months. And what I remember mostly about Lola is that she had the most beautiful eyes and the sweetest spirit. I'll sure miss her.
Yes, like my husband said, we have known her for a long time, and I had the privilege to move her about 3 times in different places, and helping out with shopping and things like that. But other things, one of the things that I want to share, that you probably saw her more like in her old age, but I saw her when she was younger, and she was a nanny, I guess you call her. And she would laugh, and I would, of course, you know, have fun with her and make her laugh too. But I have a picture of her. That's the only picture I have when I was moving her from Marconi and to the place she ended up. I mean, not the last one, but her apartment. That was a beautiful apartment she got in, I guess it's Carmichael, the area. It was closer to the Antelope, actually. Actually, it will be Sacramento, I think. But anyhow, so she lived there for quite some years. But my greatest memory will be when Anita Schoenberg and I witnessed a lot to her and visited her at the first hospital that she entered in, because she had a tremendous virus. And she laying there in coma. And we saw her many times, and I believe, Anita believed the same thing too. We had the faith that God gave us that she would be raised up. And so one day, we sang for her and everything and prayed for her. But one day, the Holy Spirit just used me to say, Jesus is here right now. Little did I know that she told me much later, and that she had seen Jesus at the same time as I spoke, Because what I meant when I spoke was where two and three are together, he's in the midst of us. And that's when she had a vision of Jesus at that time. And then she was raised up from that coma, and I praise God. He raised her up, and I had the privilege to see her raised up. But now it was a different story, but she is still, she is still by Jesus have been resurrected. Praise God.
Hello, my name is Pamela, and I've known Lola probably, well, just as long as I've been here. 4 years? 4 years. And I remember she used to always sit at the front when we were at the other location. And I would be in the back. And she was always very nice and warm to me. And so I offered to help her out on shopping at first. And then I was cleaning the church at that time. And then I guess I was cleaning the church first. And then she needed help in the shopping, so I offered to do that, and along with a lot of other people that offered. And then we just, I just want to thank Jesus for putting us together. I'll miss her. But I know she's happier now. She's in a better place, and I'm just so grateful God put us together. Because he drew out what he wanted to draw in me and vice versa. So we were just really good friends, and we were close. And I just loved seeing her, and it wasn't a burden. And I thank Jesus that he gave me the opportunity to know Lola. And I thank him so much.
My name is Karen, and I met Lola when I came to the church also about 3 years ago. And she is a very sweet, sweet person. And she, as Pamela mentioned, I actually sort of, as the sidekick roommate to Pamela, I sort of helped initially with the work Pamela was doing with her. And, you know, it's really, it can be really challenging sometimes as a person working with an elderly person who has a lot of health problems and is real frail because, you know, they don't move quite as fast as, you know, like someone like me is used to moving, and things take much longer. And I can remember one of the initial times that we went over to her house to bring her to church, and you know, it was a very long, drawn out process. And you know, here we were, Pamela and I were, and we were very impatient, and we were really well, I'll speak for myself. Really, frankly, had a bad attitude about the whole situation, and you know, and probably weren't as compassionate as I should have, could have been, and which might seem a little odd considering coming from being a nurse, but really. God worked out all those little icky things, a lot of those little icky things, that impatience and, you know, all that stuff in, I don't know how to describe it any other way, but in that relationship with Lola, and it just turned into where, once again, God just totally changed my attitude and gave me total love and compassion and patience. When there, it was very minimal before that, and I just really praise him for that, and I'm really grateful that I was able to, you know, utilize my nursing background to help. I mean, everyone was totally involved, and I just played a very, very small part in what we call in the profession case management. But Friday night when I talked to Lois and, you know, I wasn't as available to visit Lola as frequently as other people were. And I just really felt the need to go visit her after she was admitted, transferred to Walnut Whitney. But of course, you know, there's all these other pressing needs in my life. And, you know, God just works in such mysterious, wonderful ways. And Pamela that morning said, well, are you going to go with me? And I'm thinking, well, I got to do this, this, this. I've got all these things on my plate. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go with you. And it was really, really nice. It was beautiful. Even though she was comatose, we just talked to her as if she was totally alert and with us. And we prayed with her and we sang to her. And then I said, oh, I was trying to quote that one psalm that I really like, Psalm 91, but I couldn't remember the whole thing. So then Pamela pulled out her Bible and she read it. And then later she told me, you know, that was one of Lola's favorite scriptures, chapters as well. And, you know, that's a chapter that I've been working on memorizing over the years. And apparently Lola had been working on memorizing that too. So, I mean, it was just it was just perfect. It was just beautiful. And it was, and I just praise God that I was able to be there yesterday and that he told me to go and I obeyed.
Hi, my name's Joanne, and I met Lola when Sister Ina was telling about her having the virus or whatever it was. She was in a coma for 2 months, and when I met her, I was a Christian about 3.5 years old and walked into this room. Rita Jackson made me go and walked into this room, and here's this woman, skin and bones, with none but tubes from head to foot practically, and she got raised up. That was my first miracle that I saw of God. And then when she's in the hospital this last time, or in the homes, whatever they're called, Satiris and I would go in there, and she used to gripe and complain a lot. And I had to take her to the doctor and then the dentist and then back and forth. And I'd say, don't complain. I'm not complaining. But anyway, she learned not to do that. And when we would, in the end here, we'd go in and Satiris would use scriptures to try to bolster her up after she had had a lot of pain and couldn't think straight. And he'd kind of edge her into it with scriptures. And she'd say, Satiris, you're always doing that to me. So we started calling ourselves the harassment team when we'd go through the door. And she'd laugh with us. But she had a little book of scriptures. And she was learning those scriptures to memorize them. And she would read those. I believe she read them as often as she could. And it was just beautiful. And then the day we had the conference, there was about 9 people there with some Roman Catholics and the man that does the chaplain and 2 caseworkers from the hospital and 5 of us from the church here. And those people were amazed at the love that was shown for Lola. And we loved her and we harassed her and we chided with her, but I believe when we got through something was spoken out about her getting into Walnut Whitney, and we walked out in the hallway after the meeting, and the woman from Walnut Whitney was standing there. That was God. And he put her in Walnut Whitney for her last 2 days. And it was beautiful for her, I think. So I got to rush back in the room and whispered to her, Lola, you're going to go where Rita used to play the piano for years and years and years. And I think she knew, her spirit understood it, whether she did or not. But it was joyful to me to be able to say that to her. So, and we loved her a lot. And she loaned me her car one time after she couldn't drive when I was living with Rita. I'd given my car to the church or something. and she loaned her car to me and I wrecked it. I felt horrible. But I had it fixed, and then I don't know what she did with it, whether she sold it or gave it away or whatever. But anyway, we had a good time with Lola Riddle, and she was a pleasure at times, and at times she was a pain. But we were a pain to her too. But she did love Jesus Christ, and she wound up reading those scriptures and trying to memorize those scriptures, and we just thank God for where she is today.
Well, I still remember Lola. Used to go, like Joshua said, him and I'd go over and take care of her every day, every week. And after she moved out of there and went to the Mountain Manor, I'd go from here every Sunday and spend 4 and 5 hours with her until 4:30, 5:34 dinner time. We'd have a great time together. We'd talk about old times, how the family was and all of that. But now we're going to miss her. I kept praying for her every day that she'd get better and better and better. Then when Pastor John and I'd go over on Thursdays and see her in this other place, it just turned me upside down. I'd walk out there and start crying. But we had great times. We had our ups and downs, and I prayed for her each time I left there. Said, well, I'll see you next week. Get straightened up. Then on October this last year, when they had the Oktoberfest, what they call the Halloween thing, Pastor John was here at the church doing counseling. I stayed there and said, well, I'll be back after a while and get you and we'll go home. I said, okay. And after a while, one of the nurses said, you're going to stay? And I said, yeah, I'm just waiting for the pastor to come pretty soon. So we said, great, you can have dinner. So I had stayed and had dinner with Lola and brought half of it home with me when I left. So it was a great time. We both had great times together. I praise God for it.
Well, we're going to miss her. I always love to joke around with her. And she started laughing, and it was fun to see her laugh. I mean, although no matter how much pain she had, I mean, when she heard the joke, she started laughing, and it was wonderful to see. We had, every time we went with Joanne, we prayed with her, we sang to her, and not only did we minister to her, but he ministered to us as well. So we always left rejoicing. I wasn't always patient with her, and I told her how I felt certain times, but I was not in her shoes. So, but I praise God that we had the opportunity to minister to her and pray with her and sing with her and do all these wonderful things. I prayed fervently the last few times that God will do a mighty miracle in her life. Either will raise her up or will take her. And I always adding it with, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. And if whatever is pleasing to you, let it be done. And God did what he wanted to do in that woman's life. He wanted to take her. It was time for her to go. I would have liked to see her stay and be raised up and be a great witness to the people in the hospital and everywhere. It was wonderful the last time that we went as a group. We were, I believe, 7 of us. It was Aina, Lois, Pamela, Sherin. We were about 6 or 7 people. And it was such a move of God there when we prayed and we sang with her and everything. And God was giving us, each and every person, a word for her. And it was so wonderful. And we felt the peace in her after we were ready to leave. We felt that peace in her heart. I mean, although she would not react, but she was feeling much better. And the greatest of all things that happened while Lola was in the convalescent home is six people got saved one day, the first time we went with Joanne after we were coming from a trip from Pleasanton. And the Lord led us to go there instead of going home. So we went and we saw six people got saved. And then we had also a couple of other, two or three more people got saved while we were visiting Lola in the hospital. So God used it in that manner too, Lola Riddle. And I praise God for that. One thing I told her last time that we were there, while she was talking, I said to her, Lola, God probably is wondering, how come you don't talk to him? And I was encouraging her to pray, to speak to God and so on. And I was joking with her about that. I mean, that's something that I like to do with her. And she was laughing. I mean, it was wonderful to the last experience that we had. So I praise God that we had the opportunity to minister to her and give her joy and peace in her heart. So I praise God. Amen.
You know, I didn't know Lola very well, but you know, I've been here about 10 years, and I probably had maybe four or five conversations with her. And I remember one time Lois called me and said, we're looking for money so she can get her teeth fixed. And so some people donated to that. I don't even know who or if I even took part in that. But I said to myself, you know, surely she needs some dental work. And, but I was a lot like, Karen probably, you know, I would sit down in the front and she would come in and, late, you know, and I would think, man, can't these people get here on time? You know, and that's the truth. And then right after that, I'd say to myself, well, I'm glad she's got people looking after her. Because I wouldn't want to do it. And that's, you know, God places people in the body to do certain things. And so she had quite a bit of help and people looking after her. So I was thankful for that. And I was thankful that they were doing it. And but I did have one conversation with her one time. And I don't know how it came up, but her name is really Illola, spelled with an I-L-L-O-L-A. And I said, how come everyone calls you Lola? Well, I don't know, but my name is Illola. And she said, that's the name I like. And so, anyway, I believe she... they're able to look at this today, where she is, along with all her friends, and wanted to recognize her for her real name, Illola.
Hi. We were not so close to Lola as I saw Karen and Thomas. You know, I'm not that close to her, and I don't really have the opportunity to talk to her. When we came, first that we came to attend this church. And so, and since that we are taking my grandmother most of the time, especially when our caregiver is, off, so I have to take over. So, but, we have a chance to visit her one time in Madison, I think. And we pray for her with Saturis and Joanne. I was with Michael and with my grandmother at the time. So we tried to visit her and talk to her and sing for, you know, worship songs. And we enjoyed the talks that we had. And after that, we were not able. I went there one time again, but I was not able to see her because she was having dinner at that time. So, and she's been transferring from one place to another. I'm not familiar with Sacramento, actually. So sometimes I get lost before I can find it. So I'm having a hard time to see her most of the time. I would like to. But I was given opportunity to see her and know her. And I thank God for that.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is for us here today that I'd like to share that. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 11. One thing that Ian and I learned when we met Lola in 1975 was that she was a praiser. She loved to praise the Lord. And I used to joke with her. Sometimes she came in a bit late in the service. And I said, okay, folks, we can start worshiping now. Lola's here. You remember I said that? And she would grin from ear to ear. And that's one thing. She loved to praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Father, foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Lola was not a rich woman when it comes to finances. And she didn't have a whole lot. She had a car and some furniture and so on. But she was a tither. She would tithe. And then also over the years, she would work out. She worked at a Dove magazine. She worked in putting together our books. And she was working in the Sunday school for a number of years when she helped us out with small children. She took whatever she had and planted into the kingdom of God. And I believe that Lola would have as much rewards as someone that might be rich and famous, giving maybe millions of dollars to the church and doing great things, or be a great evangelist singer. It is not a matter of how much you give, but how faithful you are in what you have. If you have a little, but you're faithful, and you use your resources in God's kingdom, your reward will be as high as somebody that got a lot of resources and give out of their riches. I believe that sometimes the person with little will actually come out with more rewards in heaven. And I want to encourage each one of you here today. And I want to lay this down for memory. Lola Riddle came, I believe she was from either from South or North Dakota, one of the two. She came out after World War II, and she got married. And the marriage was not that great because her husband was drinking and some other things. And she had a nervous breakdown. When we met her in 1975, her family, this is not her son, but this is her husband, had just committed her to mental institution. There was nothing wrong with her. She was just worn out. And she had two sons. And they forced her to leave one son with somebody else. She raised one son. And for years, she would not talk about this. And then I told her, I says, well, we got to pray over this. And one son was so angry with his mother that he never talked to her again, and he never did make contact. And I told Lola, well, we will pray over this. You release him, and God will forgive. She did not have an easy life. And there was many times she would simply say this, my family is a church. It's the only one I got. And I'm very happy and thanking God for these people that stood on the platform here a little while ago that simply took part into helping her out. And also for many of you that helped out in giving and helping us out with her needs. But I want to leave you with these words today before we're going to close in praise and worship here. For out of foundation can no man lay, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I believe when she stands before the judgment seat of Christ, that Jesus is going to say, well done, my daughter. I didn't give you a whole lot of riches on this earth. You didn't have many things that you could give. But you praised me. You loved to praise me. You were faithful in that Sunday school class. You were faithful in cleaning the church. You did that too. You were faithful in putting together books and booklets that were used by God to reach people for Christ. What she had, she used as long as she could. And that's all God is asking you and me. To give of what we have, not what we think we should give. Use your talents. Be a praiser. Give of what you have. Give a smile. Give some love. Give a hug. And that's all that God is requiring. I know they got some songs selected here for the invitation. I did not know that Lola passed away. I had a sermon for her today. And it's here. But God simply said, we're going to go this way today. Because we're going to take time off and honor a simple woman that was not well known in the world. Didn't have a whole lot. But you and I took a Sunday morning worship to remember her, to talk about her, and to be thanking God that He gave us one of those little ones that we could love and hug and cherish. We got impatient with her at times. She got impatient with us. But you know, that's life. But in the long run, she knew this, we loved her. And we can truly say this, we loved her too. And I'm glad I didn't go as much as a pastor. I was there a few times. But I'm glad I was able to be there a few times. And pray and hug her, comfort her, hold her hand. And I know, I think like Thomas said here, that they probably paused in heaven and said, Lola, you want to see your friends before, you know, we go on and do some things here. And she had a chance to look back and see us. And in the future, one by one, our flights will be there. And we will slip away. And I used to say this, as a joke, and probably is not a joke, I said, whoever is the healthiest will be the last one to bury everybody else. So, I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to exercise to make sure I can send all of you off. And when I'm done, when you're done with that, I catch my flight and meet you on the other side. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the memories that we have of our sister Lola. She's now moved to the eternal church in heaven. She's off the ball field. She's now in the bleachers, Lord. She finished. And we thank you, Father God, that we will take notice of a woman that might not have been famous, didn't have a lot, but she gave of what she had. The Father God, you will find us faithful, that we, Lord, will give of what we have. Not what we think we should give, but give of ourselves, our time, to give a smile, to give a hug, and to care for someone when someone is crying. Father, we have an invitation right now. There might be people here that are need to have, be prayed for to be healed. Maybe you've been speaking to them, calling them into some kind of a ministry. I don't know, Lord, but we always would have the altars open at the resurrection life of Jesus. And Father, touch those that might have listened to us via audio today, that they will recognize that we love one another and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen. The elders will be here. Let's worship the Lord. Sing some praises to him. And if you have a need today, just come on up. And they will pray with you and minister to you.
It's a hope
that the world cannot understand. Hope to know, hope to live, my hope I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you.
I didn't get a chance to get up here and say something about Lola. There's a lot of things that have been said about Lola, and I never saw her kind of what you would call in her prime of her life. But you know, she moved slowly, but her mind didn't move slowly. She was very sharp-witted. If you said something to her, she caught on very quickly. It didn't mean that she moved across the room very fast. And I share Thomas's thing about that, that sometimes I thought, isn't it possible to move just a little bit faster? But she was faithful and slow and steady, and she got across the room. It just wasn't as fast as I wanted it to be. So that was one thing I did have to learn was, you know, patience. And, you know, there were times that I drove her home myself. I picked her up and I drove her home. And if I had my way, I might have had a jet seat in the back with an ejection button. But, you know, I paused and said, okay, Lola, we're here, and turned off the car. And we walked very slowly to her house. But, you know, it just, what I want to bring out was, is she was a faithful woman. That I had the opportunity to go through a little suitcase. And this was of her Sunday school materials that she had collected over the years. And it was kind of like a legacy of just going through. Some of the pens, you know, were dried out. They didn't work. But, you know, the material, I don't know how old this was. From the 70s, some of it. But it was still good. And, you know, her works, what she did for Christ is good. Stand the test of time. And she will have a reward from that. You know, I read this verse for Rita. And I will read this verse for Lola, too. And it is absolutely true. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul knew that his time was up. And I believe that God will share with us when our time is come. It doesn't mean that we give up on life, but God lets us know when our time has come up. And Paul said this, he said, I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So I think, in my mind, those would be her final words to us, that her race, her time on the field is over, she has passed on, and she's sitting in the bleachers now. And it's up for us here to continue. Okay. Thomas, come on.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. It's not a day that we had planned, but we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to have this memorial service for our sister, Lola. And I thank you, Lord, that it would put in the minds of everybody here that time goes by pretty fast, and we're still on the field. And we need to be engaged in the program of giving the gospel and following through on what you have designed for us to do. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here today, where we can truly say that we had time to spend with our family and our brothers and sisters. Lord, we give you praise for all things. We thank you for those people that labored for Lola. And we thank you for many blessings, Lord. We thank you for the safety that's on that we get every day on the road. Amen. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sing praises today. And we give you praise for all things. We thank you, Father, that you meet every need. And we need not worry about any of it, Lord. It's in your hands. We give you praise for that, Lord. And we thank you for your peace, like that song we just sang, My Peace I Give Unto You. We thank you for that peace, Lord. The world doesn't have that peace, but we have it. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We all go through life being refined by the Lord. Elola had a good but difficult life in which she loved to praise the Lord. This song is for her.
All things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time. Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing in Your time. In His time. In His time. All things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time. Time. You make all things beautiful in Your time. Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing in Your time.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.